Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Keeper, was running out of time, and sin separated. The breach was far too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, you've had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide that's behind
glory to his name. Glory to his name.
Before we get started, I just want to pray for this portion of the service too. Would you join me real quick as you're turning there? Lord, we just give you this time. And we ask that you would speak through your word. I pray that our hearts would be soft, our eyes and ears would be open, that we would be ready to be transformed by your word, not what somebody says behind a pulpit, Lord, but by your word. Father, I pray that if there are any spirits not of you in this place, I pray that you would remove them in the name of Jesus Christ right now. I pray that you would bring clarity, Lord. I pray that you'd bring freedom from addiction, Lord. Lord, we want to glorify you in all that we do, Lord. We just give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, this is the day that we remember Pentecost, and we're going to be looking at a portion of that, but kind of flipping around in Acts. I'd like to read an Instagram post, though, if we will. Here's what it says. The stress is real. Maybe you're a freshman experiencing severe levels of heartbreak over the end of the most amazing year, or a sophomore who just hit 20 and feels like your youth is escaping you, or a junior who's trying to pull your life together because it seems like everyone else is, but you really don't want to grow up, or a senior who's graduating and doesn't have a job lined up. Don't be blinded by all the temporary so much that you can't see the fact that God has been there the whole time, and he is madly in love with you, and he knows what he's doing with your life. Life is something worth smiling a big, goofy smile about. That post was written by a 19-year-old sophomore named Christina Samaria at the University of Georgia. It was the last post that she would share, though. She died in a car accident several years ago. Here's the way her friends described her. A free spirit, she lived for the Lord and was not afraid to let you know. She shined a light into this world like no other person could. Her smile will be missed. Her sweet music will be missed. Her drive and dedication to bring others to the Lord will be missed. She will leave a lasting influence on my life and countless others. That's what they said about this young lady. I didn't know her, but from what I read, her dedication to the Lord was clear. Life is filled with tough moments that don't make sense at times. Life is filled with getting a diagnosis that you didn't want to get, right? It's filled with disaster. It's filled with disappointment. It may be filled with divorce. It may be filled with depression. Insert all the horrible D words. Sometimes they make it into the scripts of our lives. At times we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In these moments, I want us to think about how do we respond to these things that come up in our life, in our scripts, right? How do you respond when the script that you are given in life includes your daughter dying in a car wreck at the age of 19, your godly daughter who was on fire for him and yet is still taken from this world? We can cry and create a false theology that says Christians don't have to worry about suffering if they have enough faith, right? Everything will be taken care of. Everything will work its way out. The problem is you don't see that portrayed in the Word of God, right? We see a man who had a lot of faith named Paul, and yet he lists all the things that he had to endure, being shipwrecked, being beaten, being stoned and left for dead. Another option is that we can try to lessen the pain through things like alcohol or some other distraction, whatever that may be for your life. We can buy things, hello Amazon, right? We can eat, we can immerse ourselves in TV, binge watch things, we can immerse ourselves in work, anything that will take our mind off of the script that we've been given. These two options don't help. We know that. But I believe the Word of God offers a third, and it's seen all over the book of Acts. The simple truth is that you can realize that you were created for a purpose, and that purpose has the power to dwarf anything else in your life. If you can grab a hold of that. Notice I didn't say exempt you from the pain of life, right? No, but if your purpose is bigger than your pain will never be wasted. I'm hoping today that we all get a sense, a true sense of the purpose on us in this life, because I know it has the power to change how we view everything, how we view every disappointment, every diagnosis, or whatever that D word that's in your life. Now, if your purpose is too small, if it's a man-sized purpose, then all those things will end up overshadowing it, all those D words. They'll take you out of your true purpose. They'll take you out of a place of hope. I've seen things like that take people out of church, out of the body of Christ. There are people that are not here in the house of God today because their purpose died after a company folded, or a spouse told them, I don't want to do life with you anymore. In those moments, maybe they looked up to heaven and said, if this is the script you have for me, I'm out. If our purpose is too small, if it's man-sized, we're going to be taken out. But the God of the universe is joining us to join him in a God-sized purpose, in a far bigger purpose that is wrapped around you or me. He's asking us, he's inviting us to join in what he is doing, which is drawing all mankind to himself. That is the purpose of God. That is the great mission that's a part of our motto, right? We were once friends, but now we're family. On a great mission. That is the great mission. We want people to be reconciled to God. That is the goal of this church. That should be the goal for each and every one of our lives through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Holy One of God, the Redeemer of mankind. He is the only name by which men may be saved. And if you know him, if you have placed your trust in him, if the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you should want every person that you meet to know him as well. Now that's a purpose. That's a God-sized purpose for your life. That is a compelling, overriding God-sized purpose for your life. When the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came and changed everything. And I guess the question that I want to ask you is that just information to you? Is that just history to you? Is that just something that you know? Or is that a part of your purpose in this life? There's a dying and lost world. There are people in our family. There are people at our work. There are friends who don't know Christ and are headed to a path of destruction. The only thing that matters in the kingdom of God is that we get busy as the church, shining the light collectively as the church, the light of Jesus on our hilltop, so that people can see and hear and know that Jesus is alive and inviting them into a relationship with him, with the God of the universe. Life is not just about finding a way to heaven. Life is just not avoiding hell, right? No, I have a mission and a purpose for my life that goes far beyond that. No matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to me in this life, if I have that God-sized purpose, then the thing I'm called to will always be alive. I can learn how to use my scars, how to use that pain to proclaim to the world even louder that Jesus is alive. Circumstances can't take you away from that purpose that God has called you to. No circumstance can. No D word can. It's like somebody handing you a script for your life, right? And you start to read it, you start to open it up, and you're like, okay, that's some good stuff right there that I'm reading. Oh, that's pretty good. I like that. And then you get to the part that you're like, oh, whoa, I don't like that. No, that's not going to be good. Definitely didn't sign up for that, right? Don't like that ending. Don't like any of that. And here's the thing. When life does that to you, life will hand you a script, right? The beautiful truth is today is that you don't have to accept the script. You don't have to accept it as it is. You can actually flip it around. Because I know that my purpose can't be stopped by nothing that happens to me. Nothing, right? This might sound like a bunch of hot air, especially if you're going through something right now, right? Especially if you're in that pain that you're feeling right now, right? If you're struggling. But let's look at the Word of God. Let's look through Acts and see what the message is for us today. Acts 2:22. This is Peter preaching for the first time after being filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God, by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross." So, here's your script, Jesus, right? Here it is. Thank you for coming to this planet. Thank you for feeding people. Thank you for helping people. Thank you for serving people. Thank you for touching the person that no one else would touch. Thank you for sharing the truth of God with us. Thank you for everything that you did. But here's the rest of your script, right? Now you're going to be handed over to people who are going to take your life. You're going to get beat up by the hands of a bunch of thugs who call themselves the religious leaders of this time period. You're going to be stripped. You're going to be struck. You're going to be mocked. You're going to have your beard ripped out. You're going to have a crown of thorns pressed into your skull, jammed onto your head. Oh, and you're going to be nailed to a cross. There's your script. Jesus would have said, or could have said, "Thank you for this script, but I came here with a God-sized purpose that goes far beyond that. I didn't just come down here to hang out with people, right? That purpose that I have is to glorify my Father, to bring praise to the God of the universe, right? By making a way, by making the way, right? For everybody on this planet to come from a place of death to a place of life. That's my purpose. And I'm going to do that no matter what. So if I keep reading, right, what's that script again? Oh, they're going to arrest me in the garden. I'm going to be betrayed. Oh, my closest friends are going to bail on me. I'm going to be humiliated. I'm going to be treated like a criminal. They're going to choose a murderer over me. I'm going to be beaten so bad that people won't recognize me. They won't recognize that I'm a man. I'm going to be mocked while I take the cup of God's wrath, because I'm going to become sin and take on shame, and I'm going to die. Well, watch this, right? I'm going to flip that script. I'm going to flip it all right. There is a sovereign God, my friends, a sovereign God, and he does not crumble under the circumstances of a broken world. And so the text goes on in verse 24, but God raised him from the dead. The Father raised him from the dead. That's a great flip, isn't it, in the script? I die on page 78, but if I flip a couple pages to page 81, I'm raised from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep a hold of him. Amen? Skip down to verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Right? God flipped the script. And I assure you, he is still flipping the script today. Every one of us had death and damnation in our story, in our script, but many of us have crossed that out by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now our script includes eternal life with the King. Turn to Acts 7:54. At this point, the church is growing. People like Stephen are sharing the good news, sharing the news of Jesus Christ's resurrection. The Jewish religious leaders want to shut all this down. Beginning at verse 54, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I never noticed that last part before. It's interesting because Jesus is usually described as sitting down at the right hand of God, right? But here he's standing. And to stand in this culture, in this time period, if you stood up for somebody, it meant that you were offering them your help, your support. Jesus stands in this moment for Stephen. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. We know where he heard that before. When he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Chapter 8, and Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. This is extremely important for us to get in the whole flip script thing that we're talking about. You see, Stephen is taken by a mob, and we have to be careful that we don't think that flipping the script means he's going to escape death. He's going to escape pain. That's what everybody would want. That's what everybody would be praying for. Raise him from the dead, Lord, right? Don't worry, Stephen, have faith. You're going to be set free, but he's killed. And verse 2 just hit me. They buried him and mourned deeply for him. They were shattered by this act. Shattered, right? This was a gut punch for them. They went through the sorrow and the suffering that this broken world brings. Right in the middle of God's amazing redemption story, right, is humanity living in a broken world. We're not selling a brand of Christianity today that says everything in this world will be perfect. You won't have any problems if you follow Jesus Christ. But we do frame that. We do see that through the lens of the powerful purposes of God. Acts 8:3. But Saul began to destroy, there's another D word, the church. He began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. It sounds like God's purposes are being thwarted here, doesn't it? Sounds like a bad script moment. But keep reading. Acts 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. The script said, we're going to stop them. We're going to stop this Stephen sharing about this Jesus Christ, right? We're going to stir up the crowd. We're going to push this narrative that he was against Moses. That'll stir up the crowd. We'll get him killed, and we're going to stop this message, right? Yeah, that's what the script said. Yeah, let's persecute the church. Saul is going to go from house to house, and everybody's going to run for their lives. Jerusalem's going to be in pandemonium. People are going to be scattered all over Judea. Perfect script, right, for what we want to accomplish. Oh, wait. Everywhere the people were scattered, the word is getting preached. What? No. Now more people are actually hearing about this Jesus. It's being spread all over. It's the exact opposite of what we intended with our script, right? You can kill the messenger, but you can't stop the power of the gospel. Amen? Amen. You can't stop the purposes of God. You can say, man, look at Stephen, that poor guy. But Stephen would be like, praise God. I was used for the eternal purposes of God, right? Praise God. Yes, life is painful. Yes, life is hard. Yes, life doesn't turn out sometimes as we hope it will. But when we're living a life on purpose and see life through that frame, we can navigate life better. Stephen, horrible thing that happened to him in this broken world. But he has an esteemed place in the gospel now, today, doesn't he? He has an esteemed place in heaven. Jesus stood for him, stood up for him. What a way to go out. Would he say it was rough? Would he say it was horrible? Yeah. But would he choose to live a life without that God-sized purpose so that he could avoid that end? No way. No way. But my friends, that's what some of us in here are choosing to do. Instead of living out a God-sized purpose for our life, we're living out a man-sized purpose of what we want. His death was a catalyst for the explosion of the gospel. Acts 9:1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." On his way to persecute the church, right? Saul was blinded and encounters a risen Jesus Christ. He goes to Damascus and waits there, right? Meanwhile, a man named Ananias, a disciple of the Lord, a follower of Jesus Christ, is told to go and pray for this man named Saul. Ananias knows who this guy is. In fact, Saul was on his way to that region to persecute the church there, right? Ananias doesn't want to go. But verse 15, God says, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." The guy who's there at the stoning of Stephen, the guy whose coats are laid at his feet, approving of everything that's being done, the guy who is going after persecuting the church, dragging men and women out, destroying families, right? Dragging people from their homes and putting them in jail or worse, gets his script flipped upside down. If we were around when this was happening, wouldn't we have thought this is a total disaster? you're going to use this guy of all the people, Lord, that you could use. You're going to choose to use this guy. None of us would have liked that script when we read it. But when we keep reading, we see how much he flips everything around. We see he's sovereign. We see his plans coming to fruition, right? We see Saul become Paul, and he would start numerous churches throughout the world. Saul had his life figured out before this moment. Saul had his man-sized purpose figured out. He was living for it, and God stopped him abruptly and turned everything upside down. And instead of that man-sized purpose, gave him a God-sized purpose to see Gentiles reconciled to the Lord. Make no mistake, a purpose God told him he would suffer for, but he would count it all as gain, wouldn't he? He would look at that suffering through the lens of that purpose and say, it would be worth it. It is worth it. Could you today be on your way to do something good, to doing something bad, and God says, I got a bigger purpose for you than that little man-sized purpose that all consumes your life? Could he be saying that to you today? Could he be saying, I'm going to flip your script? You might not get it at first, right? You might not understand why your plans blew up. If your purpose is set too small, you might even be tempted to walk away. But what if God has a bigger, more grand purpose for your life and can use the pain that you've gone through? What if? Read Acts chapter 16. Paul's on a missionary journey, right? Doing what God had called him to do, going and planting churches. He wants to go one way. He's praying to God that this is the way we're going to do. He has the way set. Everything's planned, right? And then the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 16 says, no, you will not go that way. I'm not going to let you. Have you ever wondered, where is God when my godly plans that I think are for him just blow up? When a door closes in ministry, we thought we were on our way to do this good thing, but God blew it up. And sometimes we're left wondering why. Why did God allow that to happen? Why didn't I get that job, right, that I thought for sure was from God? Well, Paul knew his purpose. And he was like, if you're going to close this door, right, then I'm going to go through another door. Because I still have a God-sized purpose to fulfill with my life. We see him and his companions change direction. God gives him a vision of going to Macedonia, right? So he goes there and he meets a woman named Lydia. And a church is born. Today, sometimes we live with such small purposes that when a road is closed or when we don't get accepted at a school or somebody rejects us, right, we just kind of throw our hands up and we give up. Our purpose goes beyond all that, though, if it's a God-sized purpose. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, why don't you do the thing that you were created to do? Why don't you worship him and be a part of him reconciling all mankind to himself? You can always do those two things, right? Why don't you, at the job you have right now, be a light there? Well, we got to move to Arizona for work. Be a light out there in Arizona, right? There's a bigger purpose than jobs and promotions in your path. Well, I found out that I have cancer. I don't say this lightly. Shine your light in that season. Cancer can't stop a God-sized purpose from being lived out. Purpose has the power to change everything in every way that you see it. Paul is a guy who spends the last several years of his life chained to Roman guards. You remember that? Do you remember in the Bible where he complained about that? where he said, dang it, I'm changed to this Bob guy, and this guy smells bad. I've been chained to him for 20 days this last month. Do you remember that in the Bible? No, it's not there, right? Do you think it was amazing being chained to people back in this time period? Do you think it was amazing being in jail? Do you think he liked being chained to people? No, but his purpose was bigger than all that, right? And that allowed him to flip the script. That allowed him to flip the narrative, right? Stinky Bob, I'm not chained to him. He's chained to me. And I got to share the good news with him 20 days last month. Do you see how purpose can change your point of view? Can change how you see everything that's happening to you? I'm not trying to make light of things because I know somebody reached out to me and they said they've got 3 months left to live. I know some people are dealing with the loss of a spouse, right? But purpose will change everything. And I pray that we all get that today. When you're stuck doing dialysis in a chair, right? If you have a purpose that's bigger than dialysis, bigger than what you're facing, you can be a light in that chair. Lord, who are you going to sit next to me while I'm in this chair today? Who are you going to bring into my path? Who's the nurse? Who's the doctor that's going to be put into my path? I'm going to shine a light for you. I'm going to worship you with everything that I have, right? It'll change how you see sitting in the chair with dialysis. James, you don't just don't know how bad it is, though. I don't. I probably don't. But I know the God-sized purpose that he has for you. Do you know how big your God is? Acts 16, 25, Paul and Silas are beaten with rods and put in jail and chained. Do you know how they responded in that brokenness? 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They're praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Do you get that? They're listening to people in jail singing praises and hymns to the God of the universe. They're pointing to them, right? We know what happens. We know that their purpose was bigger than their pain. We know that the God of the universe sends an earthquake and all the jail doors are thrown open, but not one of them leaves. Right? And what's the result of all that? The jailer and his family are baptized and come to the faith. Purpose bigger than any pain, than any circumstances that you're dealing with, right? Would you respond if you were beat, if you were thrown into jail by singing hymns to God? I don't know if I would. I'd be probably doing a lot of complaining. I'd probably be doing a lot of complaining about Stinky Bob if I'm in that cell with him. But if we can see everything in the light of God's purpose, and we can trust that he's sovereign, that he knows what he's doing, that he has a plan to flip our script, right? Then we can change how we see everything. Were the chains, were the beating worth it to Paul? Absolutely. Because it meant that family came to know Christ, right? What's the frame that you see your life through? Is your purpose too small? Maybe your shoulder gets blown out because the thing that you were doing was taking you away from God. And maybe he's not going to heal it because he doesn't want you heading in that direction again, right? Kathy, Samaria, was Christina's mom. And she never saw herself as an evangelist. 3 years after her daughter's death in that car accident, she embraced a new mission to share her faith and the love of God and to help those who need it the most. She does blogs. She speaks at churches. She's got a podcast. She's on the radio. If you've ever heard her on The Fish, she has a ministry that helps the broken. Does she live with the pain of her daughter's death? Absolutely, right? She said this, though. I don't want to waste my pain. I want to pour it into other people's with the experience I've had to give hope to others. Her tragedy has given her a megaphone to speak to countless people. That on fire young lady, right? Through her death, many have come to know the Lord. Her life's purpose is continually being lived out, even though she's dead. It goes on. And that is because the purposes of God are far bigger than you or me. But we can be a part of them. Please stand. Can I challenge you with two things? Every time I do a sermon, I get to the end and I say, so what? Right? So what? How do we be practical and apply this? Two things. If you're in a season of pain right now, I want you to just do one thing for me. I want you to worship God like you've never worshiped him before. Every time that pain comes, I want you to give God praise. When we do that, when we worship God, it puts him into the phrase. When we're going through anxiety and different things, right? And we worship God, the thing that's in our life that's huge starts to shrink. Our anxiety starts to shrink. Our depression starts to shrink because God gets bigger and bigger. And we realize he is the God of the universe. That's number one. Number two, will you join God in his purpose? To see mankind reconciled to him. Will you ask yourself, how am I going to do that, Lord? What do you have for me? Will you do that? Will you frame everything that comes into your path, every disappointment, everything, right, as something that the sovereign, all-powerful God of the universe can use to draw people? Will you look for that in whatever situation that you're a part of? Lord, how can I use this? How can I be a part of this to shine a light for you wherever I'm at? Cruddy job? Focus on being a light, right? Trust him with a new job or staying there, right? Maybe he'll transform your workplace. Is he not big enough? Is he not powerful enough? Does he have somebody that will join him in what he's doing, right? Shine a light. Worship him in every moment. Worship him in the pain, right? And use the pain to bring him glory, to talk about him and what he's done for you. You might not be there yet, but worship him until you are. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that you are the script flipper. Lord, I know people are dealing with horrible things, hard things, heavy things. Father, I pray that we would worship you through it all and that you would become bigger and bigger in our lives, that we would grab onto you, that we would hold onto you, that you would be a refuge, that we would get inside like a bird with its wings around their babies. I pray that that would be the place that some people dwell today. And Father, when we're ready, Lord, would you send us out? Would you give us opportunities no matter what life throws at us? Would you show us that our purpose trumps and dwarfs every circumstance that can come into our life? Father, if we get the diagnosis, Lord, may we shine a light. Lord, if we lose our job, may we shine a light. Lord, whatever it is, give us an opportunity to do just that, Lord. Lord, we love you and we give you all honor and praise. Father, we pray for this coming time with this meal with the kids, Lord, and the teens. Thank you for all that they did. Lord, I pray that they would be blessed through this, Lord. I pray that you would bless the food to the nourishment of our body, Lord. We thank you for it, and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen.